I'm going to read from Jonah 1, and then Juanma's going to come up and preach on the passage. Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and cried out each to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him aboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Thank you. This is an amazing story, isn't it? So in August 22nd of 1891, an English newspaper called the Yarmouth Mercury published an article where it says that it was a new Jonah. It was a man called James Barley. They were in an expedition in Falkland Islands, and then a big whale came and attacked the ship. And this man fell into the water, and they said that the big whale just swallowed this man. And the newspaper said that this man was living for 18 hours inside this big fish until the other sailors caught the fish and they killed the fish. And when they opened the fish, that man was still inside. More recently, historian Edward Davis has investigated carefully these facts, and he doubts that this is a real story. He says that he found many inconsistencies. He's not sure if this is a real story or not. We don't know if this story is real or is made up, but as a Christian, I believe that the story of Jonah is a real story. And we believe that that's it's a historical fact that happened 760 years before Christ. And why I believe this? I believe the Bible is the word of God. This God inspired the Bible, so I believe this is truth. And even more, Jesus believed the story of Jonah. And Jesus didn't have any problem to talk in parables. So if the story of Jonah would have been a parable, he would have said, "Do you know the parable of Jonah?" But he didn't say that. He said, "Do you remember the story of Jonah, how he was 3 days inside the fish and three nights?" So in the same way that Jonah was 3 days and three nights inside the fish, the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So Jesus, he made it clear that that was a real story. And even more, my Christian faith is also based in a unique historical fact. So even this story of Jonah is the only time in the whole history where a man was swallowed by a fish and survived 3 days. I will believe it. Because as a Christian, I also believe that 2,000 years ago, God became man. He lived and he died and he rose from the dead in order to bring lost sinners back to him. And that's a historical, unique fact in the whole history of humanity. So why not? Maybe the story of Jonah is a unique historical fact. And in regards to the big city of Nineveh, historians and archaeologists, they doubted for many years that a city like that really existed around that time of history, with 3 days walk, 120,000 people. But again, in 1846, the archaeologist Austin Lyer, he uncovered and excavated the ruins of the city of Nineveh. And exactly, it was 3 days walk to cross that city, as the Bible said. So is it the Bible, one time and another time and another time, historical facts, archaeological facts, they confirm the Bible. And it's not any archaeological discovery that has contradicted the Bible yet. So we can trust that this story of Jonah is a real story too. And yeah, I put for this story, I put the title of God's Heart for the Lost. We are doing this series about unlikely heroes. And Jonah was an unlikely hero for the Ninevites. He was an unlikely hero for the sailors of the ship. But I think we should put the focus in God. Because the main character in the book of Jonah is not Jonah, but God. And in this little book, we can see a God who is gracious and compassionate, who is slow to anger and abundant in love, a God who loves sinners. We can see a God with power over the winds and the sea. We can see a God who commands animals, like the big fish, and they obey him. We can see a patient and merciful God with a stubborn prophet. And we can see a God who is happy to be found even by those who are not looking for him, like the sailors. So, having this in mind, knowing that the book of Jonah is primarily not about Jonah, but about God, and about the heart of God for the lost, we'll approach this book. And it's like the rest of the Bible. The whole Bible is not mainly about Moses or about David or about Solomon or about Pete or Paul. It's about a loving God who loves so much the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the Bible about. That's the story. That's the story of the Bible. That's the story of Jonah. It's about a God that loves the lost people and the sinners. So let's go to the story of Jonah now. And yeah, we go to the second slide. Sorry. Yeah. And I would like start by saying that Jonah was a popular prophet in Israel. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but there is a little Bible verse in 2 Kings 14:25 that talks about Jonah and says that talking about the king Jeroboam in the northern kingdom of Israel, says that the king Jeroboam was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamat to the Sea of the Arab in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gadad Afer. So Jonah, he was a famous prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel, and he had the privilege to preach good news, to preach restoration to Israel, to preach protection. And that's quite unusual, because the most of the prophets at that time, they used to come with judgment to Israel, because Israel was always doing wrong things, and God used to send prophets to, if you don't repent, judgment is going to come if you don't repent. But with Jonah was different. Jonah was one of the few prophets that had the privilege to preach good news, good words, like God is going to protect your boundaries, Israel. So don't worry. So he was a popular prophet because he brought good news. But when God asked him to go to Nineveh, it was a different matter. He wasn't so happy about going to Nineveh. the big city of the Assyrian Empire. That was a different matter. And I think we shouldn't be so too harsh with Jonah, because probably the most of us, we would have done the same in his situation, since the Assyrians were the enemy number one of Israel at that moment. The Assyrians, they were really, really violent people. They used to destroy and to kill all their enemies, and with very violent ways. They were really cruel. And they've been fighting, at that point of history, they've been fighting Israel for almost 200 years. So it was a constant battle between Israel and the Assyrians. So then God comes and asks Jonah, can you go to Nineveh and preach to them? Jonah is not very happy about that. But just to put us in context, it will be something similar if, like, God asking us today to go to Mosul in Iraq and to preach to the group of ISIS that are killing Christians. I think we may have a similar reaction to Jonah. And curiously, Mosul is just in front of the old Nineveh, so it's the same area. So I think if God was asking me today to go to Mosul to preach to ISIS, I will really struggle with that. I don't know if I will be able. So we can see Jonah, it was a similar situation. So we can say, in some way, we can say that Jonah was asked by God to love his enemies 800 years before Jesus taught us to love our enemies. Because we don't have in the Old Testament any like specific teaching about loving your enemies until Jesus comes in the New Testament and he said, if you want to be like your Father in heaven, you have to love your enemies. But here, 800 years before Jesus taught us that, God is asking Jonah to love his enemies. That was a huge challenge for Jonah. So probably God won't ask any one of us to go to Mosul and preach to ISIS. And I think he's asking us to love those who don't know him yet, wherever we are. He's asking us to love our neighbors, our job colleagues, different members of our families, even if we don't get on well with them. God is asking us to love them and to be salt and light wherever we are, because God, he's got a heart for the lost. And we are God's ambassadors here on this earth. We have that privilege, representing this loving God wherever we are. This loving God that has got a heart for the lost and the sinners. So if we go to the next slide. So here we see in the first verses of this book, we see this this prophet Jonah running away. So we see a man of God trying to escape from God. And that's something that is not anything like that in the Old Testament. So we can see some people from God arguing or discussing with God, like Moses, and I cannot go to Egypt, I cannot talk properly, or another prophet that say I'm too young for doing this. But Jonah, he didn't wait to talk to God. He just move away. He went in the opposite direction. And so we see this man of God trying to escape from God. The sad news about this is that this is not so uncommon, actually, in general. Even from the very first man, Adam, we see that after disobeying God, he was trying to hide from God. The Bible says that God used to come into the cool of the day looking for Adam. But it's this sad moment when Adam disobeyed God and Adam is hiding from God. Here again, Jonah is disobeying God and he is running away from God. And what about us? Do we try to run away from God sometimes, ourselves too? Do we try to hide from his presence? I think we do. We see this map. It's, Nineveh was in the east, 550 miles, and Tarshish was the opposite way, 2,500 miles. So he's basically going in the opposite direction as far as he could go. But coming again to the question, do we run away from God ourselves? Do we try to hide from his presence ourselves now and then? And I have to admit that I do it myself. I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to hide from God. Especially when God is asking something that maybe I don't want to do. Or I think we struggle. Like forgiving someone that is it's been hurting me and is the stuff. Like sometimes like stopping watching things that we shouldn't be watching. Sometimes like sharing the gospel with people that we don't get on well. And God is asking, oh, love him and share my gospel to him. So in those moments, I think all of us, we run away a bit from God. We hide a bit from God. And at that point, we may stop reading the Bible regularly. We may stop praying regularly because we don't wish to come face to face with the God of the Bible who is asking us something that we don't want to do. Nevertheless, the good news is that God always runs faster than us. He reaches farther than us. And he can find us even when we are trying to hide from him. And we can see a good illustration of this in Jonah, in the story of Jonah. In this story, God is concerned about this big city of Nineveh, a great city with 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. We read in Jonah 4:11. At that time of history, Nineveh was the most populated city in the whole earth. For 50 years, was the most populated city in the whole earth. Therefore, God asked Jonah to go to the city and preach an imminent judgment unless they repent. But instead of that, Jonah decides to go in the opposite direction. So as we see in the map, Nineveh was east, Tarshish was west. Nineveh was 500 miles, Tarshish was 2,500 miles. And something interesting about this is that at that time of history, Tarshish was the end of the world. The people of Israel and the people in general, they didn't know any other place farther than Tarshish. That was the end of the known world in South Spain. So probably, they think it was in South Spain. They didn't know anything farther than that. So Jonah decided to go as far away as possible from God. That was the farthest place he could go, South Spain in Tarshish, to the end of the world. Therefore, we read in verse 3 that after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And let me tell you that when we try to flee from the Lord, there is always a price to pay. Jonah, he paid the fare to go on board. But not only that, it was not only like a economical price, like a money. Because you can imagine, after surviving 3 days inside a big fish, probably the body of Jonah will be affected by that, and probably he will have scars for the rest of his life. And this is the same for us. If we try to run away from God, we can do it. We can run away from God, but there is a price to pay because going against God's will. A price that may leave us physical or emotional scars for the rest of our lives. So it's not advisable to run away from God because there's a price to pay for that. We go to the next one. And this is something that really strike me during this week when I was preparing this sermon, that running away from God doesn't change who God is. And I think those are good news for us. Here we have our friend Jonah inside a ship toward the end of the world, below deck and sleeping. Probably at that point, Jonah will feel miserable and extremely lonely. Running away from his God in a ship with pagans who worship different gods, and going towards an unknown place in the end of the world. You can imagine how lonely, how miserable Jonah could feel at that point. He will feel physically, emotionally, and spiritually tired. Therefore, he has isolated himself, he laid down, and fell into a deep sleep. Have you ever felt like that yourself? Maybe you feel like that right now. That's a tough place to be, feeling like that. But the good news is that God's love is able to reach us even in our darkest hour, even in our weakest point, in our toughest moment. And that was Jonah's darkest hour. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? He says he ran away from his father, and he spent all his money drinking and with prostitutes. But in his darkest hour, when he was feeding pigs and wishing to eat the food of the pigs, he remembered his father. And he remembered that his father was a loving father. That's great. In the same way, even in his darkest hour, Jonah knew who God was. Because running away from God doesn't change who God is. We see in this story that a big storm arose and all the sailors were afraid. And you have to think that these people, they were sailors, they knew the sea. And they were going into a very long journey to the end of the world. They were trading and they wouldn't start a journey like that if they hadn't checked previously the weather forecast and they were quite sure that they could start that journey. So they knew that something wrong was going on here. They knew that this is not a normal storm. Someone in this ship has done something wrong against his God. So they started asking everyone, they started praying. This storm is not a normal storm. So all of them were afraid and they started praying to their gods, probably to the god of the storm, Baal, the goddess of the sea, Astarte, of the god of the wind, Hadad. They were pagan gods that this man probably will be worshipping. But it didn't work. And then they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship, but it didn't work. Then the captain of the ship woke up Jonah and asked him to pray to his god. But that was Jonah's darkest hour. In his heart, he was far away from God, and he couldn't even pray. Can you identify yourself with Jonah? Have you ever been in that situation where you feel so far away from God that you cannot even pray? Because we can see in this story, the captain is asking him to pray to his God, but Jonah remains silent. He doesn't pray. He is not able to pray. That's a tough place to be. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how you feel in regards to God. It doesn't matter if you are trying to run away or trying to hide from God. That doesn't change who God is. God is still in the throne. And that should give us peace. He is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And he loves you and cares for you even when you are trying to avoid him. Even when you are in your darkest hour, God still loves you because he is love. Yeah, I'm not going there. Yeah, sorry. So when the captain of the ship asked Jonah to call to his God, he couldn't pray. Nevertheless, he knew who the real God was. And he shared it with the sailors. He said, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." As a Hebrew prophet, Jonah will knew the writings of Moses, like the Deuteronomy 10:17, where Moses wrote for the Hebrews, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome." Jonah, he will know this writing that was 700 years before Jonah. Moses wrote that. So here we have Jonah physically and spiritually exhausted, totally broken, unable even to pray. Nevertheless, Jonah knew who the God with a big G was. He knew that the gods of the sailors, he knew that the gods the sailors were praying to were just little gods, gods with a small G. But his God, the God of Jonah, was the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. He was the God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. So Jonah told the sailors, and the sailors got terrified. The God of Jonah is the real God. We are praying to small gods. They realized that their lives were in the hands of this God of heaven, bigger than all their little gods, which were powerless in front of this great God of Jonah. Yeah, so I think we go to the last one there. Yeah. So the God of Jonah, he has got a heart for the lost and the sinners. That's the story of Jonah. So I would like to finish thinking about this heart of God for the lost and sinners. In the first verses of this book, we saw how God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach to them, to the Ninevites. If we read the rest of the story, by the end of the book, we see how eventually the Ninevites, they repented from their sins and God forgave them. Although the Ninevites had committed terrible crimes to the point that their wickedness had come up before God, when they repented, God forgave them. Because He is a gracious God. He's a compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in love. Again, this sentence that Jonah uses to say God is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in love, was something that Moses wrote 700 years before Jonah, when Moses had that encounter with God in the bush, when God just passed by Jonah and God proclaims his name and he says, I'm gracious and compassionate, I'm slow to anger, abundant in love. That's why Jonah knew that, because Jonah knew the writings of Moses. So, but the Ninevites, they were not the only ones that were lost. We can see this group of sailors too, worshipping different gods, with a small g. But through Jonah's testimony, these sailors realized who the real God was, the maker of heaven and earth. A great God with power to start a storm and with power to calm it down. So they committed themselves to Him. They say that they did vows. That's a way of saying that they committed to share about this God wherever they went. So I like to think, this is not in the Bible, but I like to think that maybe this was the first time that people in my country, in Spain, hear about the God of Israel, about the God of Jonah. Because these sailors, they were going to Tarshish in South Spain, and they will be so shocked about that story, and they say that probably they will share when they arrive to Spain about this story. Something beautiful about this story, you can see how the whole Bible is related and is linked. We can see in the Synoptic Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we can read this about this occasion when Jesus is crossing on the boat, crossing with his disciples, crossing the Sea of Galilee in the boat, and his disciples, most of them were fishermen. They also knew about the sea, about the lakes, and about the water. But we can read in the Bible, in the Gospels, in Matthew 8:26, that suddenly a big storm arose when the sailors and Jesus were in the boat, and they were afraid too. So you can see the parallel here between Jesus and the fishermen in the boat, how they got afraid, and also with Jonah and the sailors in the other fish, how they got afraid in front of the storm. And we see the disciples of Jesus asking Jesus, do something. Can you do something for this? Because we may die. And then Jesus rebuked the wind, rebuked the storm, and it was total peace and calm. And if you can see with me, Mark 4:41, it's very interesting, because they use the same word that we see with the other sailors. They say when they were terrified and ask each other, who is this? Thinking about Jesus, that even the wind and the waves obey him. So it's the same answer when the sailors in the Jonah story, they see that the sea is calm by the God of heaven, they got terrified and they committed themselves to him because they saw that he was the real God. And here we see the fisherman with Jesus, and when they saw that Jesus had the power also to calm the storm, they say they got terrified, and they say, who is this Jesus? Because even the wind and the storm obey him. And the answer is that the God of Jonah, who made the sea and the land with power to calm the storms, is the same God that we see here calming the storm in the Sea of Galilee. God made flesh, Jesus of Nazareth. It's the same God. He's got the power to calm the storm. But let's move to finish. And we have seen that the Ninevites were lost and sinners who needed to be saved by God. We have seen the sailors, but now we see Jonah too, a man who knew the real God, who was even a prophet of God, but he was also lost, and he also needed to be rescued by God. We can read in Jonah 1:12 how Jonah asked the sailors to pick him up and throw him into the sea. Jonah had come to the end of himself, and he would prefer, before obeying God, he would prefer to die. So you can see how he was totally broken at that point. He was like, just throw me to the sea. He knew that he will die if he's thrown to the sea. But even at his worst, we can see how God loved Jonah. And we read in verse 17, the last verse of chapter 1, that the Lord provided a big fish to swallow Jonah. And the story is that that big fish saved Jonah's life. If not, Jonah would have died. But even in his darkest hour, even in his lowest moment, when he was totally broken and he preferred to die than obeying God's will, God provided a big fish to swallow Jonah. And that big fish saved Jonah's life. And then what God was waiting for happened. It's in the very next verse, the first verse of chapter 2 of Jonah, we can read that from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. So at that point is when finally, after a while, Jonah prayed to God. He came back to God. He prayed to him. Like the prodigal son coming to his senses, Jonah stopped running away from his God, and he talked to him. And in verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10 says, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." So, yeah, this story of Jonah is basically about that. It's about this God, a God that has got a heart for the lost, for the sinners. He loves wicked sinners like the Ninevites. He loves sinners that worship other gods like the sailors. And he loves sinners that know him and try to run away from him, like Jonah.